to God. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians, Medes, and all those nations. And now down to verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, What meaneth this? And others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, in verse 14, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it will come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the first priority that the Lord has here with the church is the fire of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you tonight that the fire of the Holy Ghost is the life of the church. We as the church and the body of Christ have to have a regular fresh dose and a fresh touch of the fire of the Holy Ghost. You know, one thing that they get really afraid of with forest is a forest fire. But the reality is that the natural occurrence of a forest fire burns through the forest, and it's the very thing that produces new life in that forest. It actually produces a fertilizer type effect, and it allows for new seeds to grow, and it brings new life in that forest. The fire of the Holy Ghost needs to burn in our life on a regular basis in such a way that it brings new life on the inside of us. Without the fire of the Holy Ghost, the things that God is having us to do to step out in the ministry, without the fire of the Holy Ghost, the things that the Spirit of God is having us to step out in our own life become a drudgery. It becomes hard and difficult. But I'm telling you, when the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning in the church, there it's not like, oh my gosh, how are we going to accomplish this? It's like, oh my goodness, I have got to go out and do this thing. I have got to step out and do this thing for the gospel. We have got to go out and reach people. When the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning, it causes the move of God to spread. Hallelujah. And so when those forest fires start burning so hot, they just get 20, 30, 50 feet away from other trees, and trees will just explode and catch on fire when flames never even hit the trees yet because the fire is so hot. That's how hot God wants the church to be. God doesn't want us cooling off. He doesn't want us getting comfortable. He has sent the fire of the Holy Ghost to make sure that we don't cool down, that we never get comfortable. It's not about the preaching and the teaching of the Word. It's not here to try to see how comfortable you can get on your way to heaven. The preaching and the teaching of the Word coupled with the fire of the Holy Ghost is here to shake you up, to kick you in the backside, to say, let's get moving for the gospel, because God never sits on the side of defeat. God never sits around wondering what we're going to do next. And He never sits there and twiddles His thumbs and thinks, look at all the things that have gone wrong with the ministry. Look at all the challenges that we're facing. God is never on that side of things. He's on the other side of breakthrough, and He is full of the fire of the Spirit. And He is full of faith, and He is stirred up for the things that are taking place. Hallelujah. The fire of the Holy Ghost takes us out of that place. I'm telling you, the devil wants to try to throw things at us, one attack after another attack. The lack attack, the sickness attack, the strife attack, the issues attack, the emotional problems, the emotional baggage attack. The devil just wants to hit one attack after another and get us to where we're just trying to fight and resist all these attacks that he's throwing at us, and we begin to forget about the very purpose that God has given us. He wants us to get so distracted with these attacks that he's throwing at us that we forget about the very purpose that God wants to accomplish. But when the fire of the Holy Ghost comes, it burns away all of that garbage and it begins to purify your purpose. Amen. The fire of the Holy Ghost will purify your purpose. If you're sitting there wondering, what is God going to have me do in 2019? What's the goal? How are we going to get this done? You need a fresh touch of the fire of the Holy Ghost, because when it's done touching you, there's going to be nothing left but that divine purpose of God sitting there burning bright on the inside. And not only that, he's going to give you the direction and the ability to carry it out. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the fire of the Holy Ghost is like just pouring gasoline down on the inside of you. But at the same time, it's like pouring strength and ability on the inside of you. So you not only get excited, it's not about just shouting and jumping and spinning around, but it's about you when your feet hit the floor. You've got a divine purpose that's been embedded on the inside of you. And you've got a divine faith that has been sparked from the Spirit of God. And you are ready to go move a mountain. Hallelujah. You are ready to go slay a giant. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what the fire of the Holy Ghost is to do. And without the fire, I'm telling you, we begin to get caught up in the dross. We begin to get caught up and we can't see the forest for the trees. I'm telling you, sometimes the Holy Ghost just wants to burn the forest down. You get so many things all around us. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that? We need the fire of the Holy Ghost sometimes just to burn that forest down. And whatever's left is what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The fire of the Holy Ghost is the number one thing that God has for the church. We can never, the whole purpose of the preaching and the teaching of the word is not for you to get comfortable and never have any issues in life. And now don't misunderstand me. The blessing of God will get you to a place of comfort. But that's not why God has the preaching and the teaching of the word. Is just so you get so comfortable that you never have any desire to go out and touch other people, that you never have any desire to go out and reach the world. And I'm not saying that everybody has to be a soul-winning street evangelist or a TV evangelist or everybody has to be a pastor, but you have your place. And when the fire of God's burning on the inside of you, you'll be like Dr. Vaughn and show up and you're preaching to 7-8 million people or something. You'll be like the Paul that's all of a sudden seeing people get healed in the nursing homes, because there's a fire burning on the inside of you that cannot be quenched. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God didn't have to send a plan for church growth on the day of Pentecost. People that are on fire are going to spread. People that are on fire with the Holy Ghost, with the gospel, with the call of God, I'm telling you, I can't emphasize enough right now that it burns away all of the issues that the devil's trying to place right in your face. I'm telling you, he will throw giants and put a big giant Goliath right in your face to where you can hardly even see around that guy and you can't see what God's wanting to do. And then he'll throw another giant against you. It'll be like Israel when they made that league with Gibeon and five nations came against them all at one time. Well, the devil loves to do that kind of a thing. 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha was prophesying and giving words to the kingdom of Israel about everywhere the enemy Samaritans were going to be, over and over, to the point that the king of Samaria came after Elisha and surrounded him. That's what the devil wants to do, is try to surround you, but you can just sit there comfortable and say, no, I've got my eyes open to the realm of the Spirit, and more are those that are with us than those that are with them. And you can pray and open somebody else's eyes and they're going to see the angels and the host of God surrounding you. The devil wants to try to do that like 2 Kings chapter 6 and surround you with all kind of garbage and have you wake up on a Monday and it's like one call, one text, every email that comes through is bad news because he's throwing all this junk at you. But the fire of the Holy Ghost will purge through all of that stuff and get you focused again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because the fire of the Holy Ghost is not just something exciting. It's not just something that makes you jump up and down and shout and run in a circle. The fire of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God getting fused on the inside of you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that you are strengthened with might by the Holy Ghost. The supply of the Spirit that Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 16, 17 in there. The supply of the Spirit, that's the fire of the Holy Ghost. It comes and it touches you and it changes you, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when we get weary and we begin to wonder about the promises of God that He's given us and begin to get to the point where we just don't even want to fight the fight anymore, just forget it, I want to quit on my faith, it's because you need a fresh touch of the fire of the Spirit of God. And the body of Christ, and I believe this here for the city of Fort Worth, we need a fresh touch of the fire of the Holy Ghost right now, more than ever before, because what God wants to do is on the other side of that big giant, He just wants to burn that thing out of the way and get you seeing what He sees and get you full of the might and the power of the Spirit of God so you will do what He wants you to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The fire of the Holy Ghost brought miracles. It brought answers. It brought direction to the early church. I'm telling you, we can get to where we are so consumed with the doctrine of the New Testament that we forget about the manifestation of the New Testament. And that's something that the devil wants to do here in the church in the United States with the seeker-sensitive movement. Well, we know all the doctrine. Well, we know all about the Holy Ghost. We can give you 10 points on what the Holy Ghost does. But the Holy Ghost has to be manifest. The New Testament is not just doctrine. It's a manifestation. The Holy Ghost is not just a doctrine of the church. Well, thank God if it's on the website. But what is happening inside of your heart? What is happening in your life? Well, I was baptized with the Holy Ghost 20 years ago. Praise God. I've been praying in tongues ever since. But is there a fire burning in your heart? Is there a fire burning of the Spirit of God that is making you different from people around you? Is there something burning on the inside of you that makes you different, makes you want to change the world around you? Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Glory to God. Where the fire's burning, there are people that just naturally want to go into the ministry. Yes. Man, when in a church or in a ministry where the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning, people just want to go out into the ministry. Where there's a healthy place and when the fire of God's burning in revival, teenagers get raised up and they go straight into the ministry because they get touched by the fire of the Holy Ghost. I remember in the 93 revival, Dan and I are products of that. We went straight into the ministry. How many other people did? Where there's a fire of God burning, people go straight into the ministry. Young people go straight into the ministry. And they're not looking for a way to try to how to grow a church and do it the easiest way possible and how to do this and how to do all the techniques. They're looking for the way to go out and get people saved and build a church on people that just got saved off the streets. They're looking for a way to go impact the kingdom of God, destroy the kingdom of darkness, because there's a fire burning on the inside of them. When you've got the fire of God burning on the inside of you, your first resource is not the plan of man. When you've got the fire of God burning on the inside of you, your first resource is not the plan of man. I'm telling you, that's an epidemic across the church here in the U.S. today. The first resource is the plan of man. We want to go see what everybody else is doing that's working and figure out how everything's going to work. The fire of God has a plan. The Spirit of God has a plan. But the heart that's on fire, the persons that's yielded to the Spirit of God and full of the fire of the Holy Ghost is going to have the plan of God fused to them, fused into their spirit on the inside. Amen. It's like, turn with me to Ephesians 3:16. Thank you, Jesus. I got a new preaching Bible. I think it's preaching better than my old one. Ephesians 3:16. And He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ will dwell in your heart by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love will be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I preached several messages on this several months ago. Verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I want you to know tonight, church, that God has made this easy. When the fire of God is working, when we're on fire, when the fire of the Spirit of God is burning in our hearts, then these things take place automatically. Rather than us struggling, well, I don't have the strength of the Spirit. But when the fire of God is burning, He is infusing these things on the inside of you. And according to the power that works within us, you are able to do things because there is a power at work on the inside of you that is inexplicable. I mean, it goes the exact opposite direction of the thinking and the plan of man. Nobody could have explained that Jesus was going to raise from the dead. Even His own disciples didn't believe it when He stood there and told them. He raised Lazarus from the dead and told His disciples, disciples, I'm going to raise from the dead, and they missed and didn't believe anything that he had to say. The natural mind cannot get a hold of the plans and the purposes of God. But when you get the fire of the Spirit of God on the inside of you, all of a sudden you've got that plan burned on the inside, and you begin to move by the Spirit of God, and it doesn't matter what your mind has to say about it. It doesn't matter what the TV has to say about it. It doesn't matter what the spirit of religion has to say about it. You've got a burning fire. You've got a burning faith on the inside of you that is going to speak to every mountain and slay every giant in your path. Hallelujah. Because there's a burning fire on the inside of you. This is the way Jesus operates. Hallelujah. This is how Jesus lives. He never calms down. Jesus never calms down. I'm telling you, he's got family down here on earth that at the moment are dying and on their way to hell. He is not calm about that. Soul winning is family business to Jesus. Whatever your part is in soul winning, it's family business to Jesus. And we ought to not be too calm. We ought to never calm down about soul winning. We ought to never calm down about revival. That's exactly what the spirit of religion wants us to do. It wants us to calm down. The spirit of religion is totally happy if we can preach messages about revival. We can preach all kinds of doctrine about the Holy Ghost. The demonic spirit of religion will be totally happy if we can preach and teach and preach and teach all that and never let the Holy Spirit manifest anything. I'm telling you, somebody who's got the fire of God burning on the inside of them, manifestation, preaching and teaching, it's all one and the same. I'm telling you, the word of God's going to be coming out of their mouth, impacting and changing the lives of people, and there's going to be healings taking place. You can't even go through the nursing home. That's what it is. You can't even go through the nursing home without people getting healed. The power of God is going to be touching people everywhere that you go because there's a fire burning on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus never calms down. This is how he lives. This is how he operates. Just take a look with me to Revelation chapter 1. You see, Jesus, when he was walking the earth, his countenance, what he looked like when you looked at him, was restrained immensely when he was walking the earth. And John knew Jesus when he was walking the earth. But now John in Revelation chapter 1 is about to see Jesus still restrained because nobody can look on God's full glory and live. But Jesus let more of his person, more of his being be revealed to John. Here in Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 11, saying this, I am Alpha and Omega. Somebody got some water? Just toss it to me. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia and in Ephesus. Thanks, Robert. And in Smyrna and all these places. In verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, you can read on and study this, but those seven golden candlesticks represent seven churches. Golden candlesticks with a flame. God's not interested in a candlestick with no flame on it. The very essence of the body of Christ is fire. Jump over to chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do your first works, or else I will come to you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. So Jesus here is dealing with the lukewarm church of Ephesus and is threatening them, saying, if you don't get back on fire, I am going to remove your candlestick. You want to modernize that today? That means he can go to a local church or a ministry and say, you don't get on fire, I'm removing your candlestick. Well, what will happen when the candlestick is removed? There's no fire left. The church has all kinds of doctrine. And then the doctrine starts to get screwy because they have to have doctrine on why there's no Holy Ghost. Then they have to have doctrine on why there's no joy. Then they have to create more doctrine on why there's no fire. Then they have to create more doctrine on why nobody's getting saved. Then they have to create more doctrine on why it's okay to do all these other things, you know, and pull people from other churches and their church markets to other churches, and they grow because they're taking members from... They have all kinds of doctrine for all kinds of stuff. The doctrine gets screwy. But the whole, you know, and they've got a 501c3 with the IRS. You can go to the IRS. Oh, yep, they're a church right there. They're a church. But if you go to the annals of heaven, they ain't a church anymore. Amen. Why? Because the fire is gone. This is not a threat to Calvary Cathedral, not at all, not remotely. My point is here is that the essence of who we are is fire. We can't get away from that. And if we do, we can lose what God has. And that's not going to happen, so don't get me wrong. I'm talking about the essence of who we are as the church is fire. We are a candlestick. If you could look into the realm of the Spirit right now, you would see a candlestick over Calvary Cathedral that represents us as a church. Hallelujah. With a burning fire on top. That's how God wants this thing to work. Hallelujah. Now back, excuse me, back to chapter 1. Verse 12. Goodness. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the candlesticks, like even like one of them, to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. Verse 14, his head and hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. What a revelation to see. Can you imagine looking into the eyes of Jesus and seeing a burning flame of fire? You know, when you can tell a lot about people when you look them right in the eye. You can really see what, you know, they say you can tell a liar by looking them right in the eye. You look in the eyes of Jesus, you're going to see eyes that are burning as a flaming fire. I'm telling you, he is excited. There is nothing that can happen to this church, to this ministry. Hallelujah, to my throat. There's nothing that can happen to any ministry, any preacher, to any household, to anybody in this place that is going to get Jesus down in the dumps, that's going to get him discouraged and wondering what he's going to do. He's got eyes of a burning fire. If you can look at him in the eye, he's excited about what's about to take place on the inside of your life. So I'm telling you right now, get over the depression, get over the funk, get over the discouragement that's been trying to come against you. Forget about the five armies that have attacked you all at the same time, and get your eyes on Jesus, because he's looking right at you and his eyes are as a flaming fire. Hallelujah. Because he is excited about what has taken place in your life. He is excited about his plan and how he's going to do it inside of you. And he is excited about what he's got for Calvary Cathedral in 2019. Come on, somebody praise God with me tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's got a burning fire on the inside. And he's put that same fire on the inside of you. Glory to God. Glory to God. God wants you to have your eyes as a burning fire. People ought to look at you and say, I can see the fire burning in that guy's eyes. There's something moving him. That's something moving that lady. There's something moving that young person. There's something burning on the inside of them that's different from everybody else. I'm telling you, God is excited. And he's put that same fire on the inside of you. And it's excitement, but it's a whole lot more than excitement. It is the very power and very ability of heaven and the Spirit of God put on the inside of you to do what he has called you to do. Hallelujah. And to chart a course that is led by the Spirit that brings heaven on the earth and reaches the lives of people, that sees revival take place with your kids, sees revival take place with your family, sees revival take place with your finances. I'm telling you, get the fire of the Holy Ghost, get hungry again, stir yourself up again for what he wants to do, and he's going to infuse these things on the inside of you, praise God, and you're not going to be the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, when we as the body of Christ get too far away from the fire, the things that God called us to do and the visions that we have suddenly begin to become a burden. And I think everybody in here can testify that you felt that at least once in your life. Like, man, this call that God's, with the things that God's spoken to me to do, it's like this is just a burden. I don't even want to do that. The thing that you were so excited about, that the fire of God touched you, you ran around the place at one point shouting the victory because God had told you what you're going to do. And now it's a burden and you're like, Lord, just, oh, Lord, just pass it off to somebody else. I can't handle this anymore. The thing that God calls you and has given you to do becomes a burden when the fire of God's not burning on the inside of you. Yeah. It's not what God wants. It's not what God's got for us. Let's just light this thing on fire just like that. Set the whole thing, just blow up the whole thing by the Spirit of God. Whatever's left, we know is God. I want to tell you right now, in Acts chapter 2, there was, at the beginning of Acts chapter, if you Acts chapter 1, at the very end of that chapter, technically, there was no church yet established in the world. The Holy Ghost came, the fire of God came. Immediately the church was established. You know, think, well, God, look what's going on. So many churches across the U.S. that are standing for revival, they're struggling so much, it's so hard. I'm telling you, God didn't even have a church to start with before Acts chapter 2. There were saved people. There were people that were born again, that were called and anointed, but there was, the church was, as the body of Christ, and as the ministry hadn't actually started and manifested yet, God didn't even have anything to start with then. All he had was people that were hungry, and he baptized them with the fire of the Holy Ghost, and the church was formed, and within the same day, thousands of people were getting saved. God doesn't have to have everything perfect. And in some cases, the more difficult it is, the more hungry we get, and he can do more as a result of that. Well, look at all the challenges we're facing. Look at all the challenges facing the church. Look at all the challenges facing the ministries. Everybody's gone seeker sensitive. It's too hard to build a revival. It's too hard to win souls. It's too hard to shake a city. It's too hard. Da, 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 da. God is not, you think that matters to him? He didn't have a church to start with before Acts chapter 2. I know there were saved people and individuals that you could say became the church, and that's what happened. But the fire of the Holy Ghost establishes what God wants to do. It is not something to be played around with. It's not something to trivialize. It's not something to just say, well, that's for the old saints. Man, forget that. You want to know who's going to get more on fire than the old saints when the fire of the Holy Ghost shows up? It's going to be the teenagers. You want to watch ones, people, teenagers get so on fire, they'll run circles around us old saints. I'm telling you. And that outreach we did last year at Carter Riverside, teenagers that were not saved, didn't know the Lord, stood up in front of everybody and prayed the prayer of salvation right in front of everybody. I mean, teenagers will do anything. They will do anything. You get something triggered in their brain, much less the fire of the Holy Ghost burning on the inside of them, they will do anything. I'm so fed up with the concept of, well, that's just a traditional thing. People talk about the moving of the Holy Spirit and having services where the Holy Ghost is actually Lord. Well, that's just that's our traditional service. Oh, come, you've got to be kidding me. Well, for the young people, we've got something different because, you know, this is the way that they want it. Let me tell you, right now, nobody knows, nobody's initial desire for the things of God is ever exactly what God wants to do. It's not about, well, this is what the lost and the unsaved want, so let's customize the gospel to fit the lost and the unsaved. No, forget that. We become all things to all people, but we don't change the gospel. We don't change the fire of the Holy Ghost. Man, we become all things to all people. We'll do an outreach. We'll go and preach the gospel and do all the things on television and then let the Holy Ghost hit them and they will change. And their desires will change and they're going to be one what we got. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, the devil wants to antiquate the move of the Spirit of God. And say that homosexuality becoming total commonplace is that's the new thing. That's what needs people, Christians need to accept the sin of homosexuality and antiquate the fire of the Holy Ghost. And then how many movies, anybody seen a movie at all in the last 12 months in the theater? It's like all this demonic witchcraft horror movies, the garbage that's coming out. And then people want to try to tell the church that we can't have the fire of the Holy Ghost. You better get out of my way, because if the Holy Ghost doesn't hurt you, I might. You want to tell me the devil's doing all of this garbage, sorcery and demonic trash, all kind of stuff out of hell? I know the video games that young people are playing today, live online, fighting against, and the murder that's going on this stuff. And you want to try to tell us that the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost, and the power of God is antiquated, and that's all for the old saints? You've got to be kidding me. I'm telling you, man, we need the fire of the Holy Ghost today because it'll break through all of that garbage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying that you get touched with the fire of the Holy Ghost that all problems disappear. I'm saying you get touched with the fire of the Holy Ghost and you get that burning in you, that there's a strength of the Spirit on the inside. There's a faith, as Pastor says, born of the heart of God. And then you all of a sudden have a greater strength and a greater victory on the inside of you to make all of those problems disappear. If it takes one day or if it takes a year, you're going to see victory all over every single thing that's coming against you. That's what the fire of the Holy Ghost does. It's not a magic trick. The people that came in the 05 Youth Revival, there were a lot of young people that came and got touched and their lives were changed forever. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will pour out Himself and pour out and pour out, but then people have to respond and change. And you can see, even in that revival, and in every revival, there are people that get all on the bandwagon. Praise God. When the Word of Faith movement started in the 80s, man, the stadiums were filled all over the place. And then the Holy Ghost movement in the 90s, and then other movements come along, and there's always people that just jump on the bandwagon. But as soon as God moves in a different direction and it's not the magic trick anymore, they slide to the wayside and they backslide and da 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 da. But the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost, is not just something that fades away. It's not something, you know, we're not here looking for just a magic trick. We're not here looking for a gimmick. The fire of the Holy Ghost is how God established the New Testament church. And He started with nothing. He started with a guy named Peter that was scared to testify to a little girl. That's how Jesus started. That the fire of the Holy Ghost changed all of that. We need a fresh baptism of the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, we can have one. We could step into like a 2-month-long revival and go every night. If the Lord willed, and if that were to happen right now, next year or by the end of 2019, we need a fresh dose of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Because in Acts chapter 2, they had a fresh dose of the fire of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 29, 30, and 31, they had another one. In Acts 13, 52, they had another one. We've got to be continually filled and touched and strengthened by the fire of the Spirit of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.